Ready to elevate your career with a professionally published book? Are you simply not sure where to start? Have you been searching down the internet rabbit hole for a self-publishing resource worth your time? Your search ends here, my friend. Let's walk the publishing path together and bring your book to life with the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I'm here to coach thought leaders, executives, and speakers on how to successfully self-publish your book while avoiding common pitfalls. I'm Lana Liquidy-Smarges, chief ghostwriter, editor, and founder of Unicorn Publishing Company, and have stood by the sides of many professionals just like you to walk them through the publishing process and successfully launching their book. Every industry pioneer faces the same daunting challenges: how to convert your hard-earned wisdom into a book that builds legacy with a voice that reflects your personal and professional brand. Join me each week to acquire practical wisdom and proven strategies and find out what the traditional publishing companies simply don't want you to know. Let's work together to tell your story with a book. This is more than just a podcast. It's your roadmap to becoming a published author. Get ready to write your blueprint for book publishing success with the Publishing for Professionals podcast. Hello, friends and future authors. This is Lana Liquidy-Smarges. Welcome back to another episode of Publishing for Professionals. I am super stoked about today's episode because I'm always excited about guests, but I'm super excited about having this guest on for several reasons. And one is because this is my first book blueprint episode. And a book blueprint episode is a guest that comes on that is writing a book and wants to ask me questions about writing and publishing their book. And so today I have a wonderful guest on. Her name is Janet. Janet is an amazing coach. You definitely want to talk to her. She is a family and relationship therapist. She does she's a dating mentor and a sex talk educator. She is a podcast host and has 20 years of education and experience in a decade in relationship therapy. She blends deep professional expertise with raw personal experience in love, sex, intimacy, and emotional communication. She is fabulous to talk to. Janet, welcome to Publishing for Professionals.
And what a lovely way to welcome me.
I'm super excited that you're here for our first book blueprint episode. Today, we are going to talk about how to organize your information in your book and write your rough draft, because a lot of my clients are just stuck on like, how do I start my book? So Janet, let's just jump into it. Like, what are some of your initial questions about, hey, I've got these ideas in my head and I want to make it into a book?
I don't want it to be boring. That's the thing, Lynn. So the structure needs to be able to have some sort of flow to it. And I'm not really sure how to do that and put my story, you know, which is based around me spending the first 50 years of my life being a sexual mute. How do I put all that together, as well as putting some psychoeducation in there to help and support people? Sort of like how do I do the stepping stones to tell my story so that it all seems to make sense? I mean, yeah. it feels overwhelming, really, to try and think where do I start. And
let's look at like what you're trying to write first. So let's look at like the focus of your book. So the focus of your book is going to be a memoir. So it's going to be a nonfiction, correct? So you're going to have a nonfiction memoir that's also educational, because you want to teach people things that you have learned along your personal journey about being sex positive and how to express yourself in dating and relationships and just being comfortable within your own body. So what is the purpose of your book to be like a lead magnet for your business? Like, you want to hand it out to clients and say, hey, this is what I do, this is who I am. And obviously, like, for people to buy it on Amazon and know who you are and say, oh, I want to reach out to Janet because I want to work with her.
Yeah, well, there's that. And it's also about my experiences. And I mean, when I was 50 and I ended up in a relationship with a sex and a porn addict, that was the catalyst. And I think there's a lot of women out there in particular who will be going through what I went through with body shame, and how can I help them? The body shame is because you're always comparing yourself, you see, where you're in a battle with porn. Porn becomes the enemy, and you can't understand it, so that they can understand and have more of an education. So although I want it to be part of my story, I want to be able to give people an education to be able to support them. And if they want to come and work with me, they can come and work with me. But I'd like to be able to have something that would enrich their existence and know that it's okay to feel what they're feeling, and to be able to have some strategies to grow.
So what I'm hearing, what you're saying, Janet, just to make sure that I am clear on your message, is that you have your story, and that as you're telling your story, you want people to, like, you want also to interject in that. So, like, you want to figure out, how do I interject in the story the lessons I've learned, and how someone else can learn these lessons and prevent these things from happening. But you want to learn how to make that into a succinct flow that is interesting for the reader to read and they can understand it, but also educational, but not be so complex people get lost in the story.
Yeah, I don't want it to be complex. This is the thing, that I don't want to be, it's this theory or that theory. I just want it to be in lay terms so that anybody can get an understanding and to be able to implement some of these things in their life if they're going through those situations, of which I've got a feeling there's lots of women who might be, and men, mm-hmm. might be having issues with porn, and the women might be hating on the men, but they don't know. There's a reason for all of that. I'd like to be able to get that into, really, to reduce the shame around these sorts of relationships. And to reduce the shame, one way to do it is to give the education around how I got to that point, because I was in a trauma bond relationship. You see, my story has pockets of different types of trauma. I'm always one for looking for gifts, and the only way that you can find a gift is to use your awareness and to have some techniques you can embed into your life.
You want to figure out, like, how you can tell those trauma stories for it to be a part of the teaching and the lesson, right? But not be overwhelming for the reader when they're going through and reading it. But having enough of an impact that the reader feels like, oh, I understand what Janet went through when she did this, even if that hasn't happened to the reader.
Yeah, because they might have had it in some sort of similar way by being rejected, because part of the process for me was being continually rejected by somebody who I thought was my partner. I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. I was very naive. Let's say I was very naive.
Mm-hmm. When you said that, I'm thinking of my daughter's partner, my youngest daughter's partner, because he's, like, super sweet and very nice, but yeah, he has that naive thing. And so it's very easy for people like that to take advantage of people who don't know, right? Yeah. Because you just don't know. Like, if you knew, then you would be like, oh, this isn't right. So you want to tell your story. You want to have enough of the story in there that, you obviously, you want to tell the story, how it happened, in a way that's interesting to the reader, that's very clear for them to understand how this lesson that you're teaching them applies to that story. And that's actually I just spoke with somebody yesterday, another woman who just signed on, and she has the same thing. Like, she has this big life story and she wants to teach people what she's learned through all of these experiences, and how, like, what she thought was what she learned out of them that was positive, and what she thought, like, oh, I would have been much better to do without this. And that's really hard to discern, especially when it's your story, because you're so personally attached to it. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, well, what part of my personal story do I need to share to be effective? And what part of my personal story do I not need to share? Because it's not going to, A, make a better impact for my book or on my listener or my reader, or B, it's just going to be, it might be too much information for them to take in, right? It might not help with the teaching aspect, the educational piece of your book. So I would say, one of the things you can do to start with organizing is just to start a timeline. What part in your timeline, Janet, do you think would be a good place to start this story? Because it doesn't have to be your whole life, right? Like, it doesn't have to be. And also, the other thing with choosing when you're going to start your story is, you can start your story at age 40 if you wanted to, or 45. And then when you get to a piece where you need to explain backstory, you can explain a little backstory as you go. So you don't have to start. I was a child at age 3, and this is how, like, my life went, right? Because we don't need to know your whole life story to get a lot out of that reading, that information, right? The reader just needs to know the context that applies to have enough background to refer to it when they're reading your story. So what part do you think fits that the best to start off your story? Like, what age range?
Well, there's a few points that come to mind. I could start from 50, when I left teaching and met this new partner. Or I could start, as you see, because also it'll have generational trauma that I've brought in through my Irish background. I could start It's how interesting it makes. Should I start more ancestral?
Oh, I
don't
see what
know.
You mean. Yeah. Are you thinking of like maybe either doing 50 or starting out with the ancestral piece?
I could start elder, or because the story actually starts before I was born, you see, when I was adopted, because the story is of adoption. You could start with the day that I was born, because I've been born into grief. I haven't been born into love.
I think that's actually a really powerful place to start, because typically when I tell people they're telling a storyline, like, you don't have to tell it from the beginning, but because you were adopted, I think that's a fabulous starting point, because it really immediately drives home to the reader. You were born into a family and had a brother, like, right? Like, this is not typically what people are born into. So I think starting at that point in your life, like talking about, like, I was born and I was an orphan, and I was adopted by a family, puts you in a very special category that you already started off life really hard. Like, you didn't have any advantage starting off like that in life. So I think that's a really great hook for a couple of reasons.
Yeah.
One is because it's going to pull the reader in and have empathy for you and say, oh my gosh, Janet really had a rough start to her life. Like, and here she is, like, you know, having a podcast and writing a book and like doing all these things. Like, that's an incredible starting off being an orphan, and now you're doing all these things. Like, she's clearly done a lot for herself. And so I think that's a great starting point, is starting out like, hey, I was an orphan and blah, blah, blah. And then you could actually jump from that piece in that chapter one to like go to age 50. And now here I am, you know, I started off an orphan, and now here I am at age 50. I just left my teaching job and I met this guy who was a predator, but I didn't know that because I was born an orphan and I never learned, like, my families that I was with, I never got taught this XYZ. So now I end up here at 50 in this predatory relationship, and then start telling like what happened. And then you can kind of like off and say like, and do some lessons maybe along the way. But what's your next question you have for me, Janet? If you were to do like starting off with your adoption and then, and your orphan, and then going, jumping to 50, like what would be, you think, the next step in writing your story?
Yeah, and I think that being the 50 is important, because I didn't realize the impact of my adoption until I was 50. It was getting into that second relationship. Well, it wasn't, it was a third relationship, but I recognized that all the relationships that I'd got into were a low-level intimacy, because I had low-level intimacy because I was feared of getting close to anybody because I'd been given away. And then I could actually go back to start to recognize all those points. Yeah, there's a back and a forth, isn't there? It's how do you navigate it where you want to? Do you know, being in the presence of being 50, maybe, but then recognizing that this didn't start here. This and me not knowing, and me being clueless, shall we say, to keep going back into a story that helps me to understand who I am.
The piece of advice I usually give people who are writing a book like yours is that the best way to do it is like to set up this timeline. So you have your adoption, and then like realizing how your adoption affected you and your relationship, and write that timeline out, and then brain dump that, right? Like brain dump all that information down, and then go back and be like, okay, what pieces need to be rearranged? Or like, oh, I can put this little lesson into this spot, and then keep going there. And then you can come back and then go through and edit it again. And so stories like this do take more editing, just because A, it's very personal, right? And B, you have to figure out what you want to share, what you don't want to share. Because I had a client who wrote a memoir. He's like, I want to share this, I don't want to share this. So he went back and forth a lot, figuring out what he wanted to share and what he didn't want to share. As you're writing your story, you can be like, oh, this would be a good spot to say, okay, and then this is what happened before, to give people context. So you can actually figure that out as you're going along. You don't have to know all the details of your outline from the gate, right? Does that make sense? That's one of the things I would definitely recommend for writing your book. I think the other thing would be, when you're doing your rough draft, don't overthink what you want to put in your book and what you don't want to put in your book. Because I always say it's better to put more information down for writing a book for this purpose, right? It's easier to write it all down and then take out the information, because you don't have to completely cut it out. That's another thing. Some of my clients be like, oh, I just have to completely cut this out. You can take it out of your story, but what I always recommend for clients to do is just put it on. We literally have a document in Google that says extra content, and put it in that extra content piece and just title it so you know what topic it is. Mm. So that way, if you're going through another edit and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I had this story I took out and it didn't fit in this chapter, but I think if it's really good in this chapter, that way you can take it out and put it in a chapter that it better fits, mm-hmm. or you might not use it. And that's okay. One of the things I like to tell my clients a lot is that don't be judgmental of like yourself as you're writing, like don't edit yourself, because editing yourself as you're doing your rough draft and just doing your brain dump will just kill your creativity, because you're going to constantly overthink like what you're like, is this right? Is this right? Is it like as you're writing it? Definitely just do the brain dump, think about it. And then if there's anything you need to move off into that extra document, you can do that and then bring it back later, or vice versa. Like if you say, oh, I'm going to add this into this part of the story, you can do that as well. We're going to take a super quick break right here. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about Janet and her book journey. So hang on and we'll see you just in a minute. Hey, friends and future authors. I know what it's like to sit alone at your desk and to stare at your manuscript and wondering if anybody else out there feels the same as you do. My friend, that is why I created the Publishing for Professionals community, a sanctuary for leaders like you who are crafting books to elevate your thought leadership. Imagine having a professional ecosystem where you can find other professionals who truly understand your struggles and celebrate your victories. A circle which offers genuine support and a place where fellow thought leaders gather. The road to authorship is better traveled together. Come and join an alliance who speaks your language, who recognizes that your book isn't simply just a page with words. It's the process of creating your forever legacy. Join the Publishing for Professionals circle at www.writeforyou.me and click on community. Use the sign-up form and register today to gain confidence alongside others who now share your journey towards authorship. Hey, my friends, this is Lynn Liquidy, and we are back for our first book blueprint episode. And we're with Janet, who is a fabulous therapist and she is a fabulous coach. You definitely want to check her out. I've got her Instagram up here. If you are watching this on YouTube, all of her links will be in the show notes below and or in the YouTube comments below. So make sure that you reach out and connect with Janet if what she's saying is interesting to you, because I love what Janet does. Okay, so Janet, before the break, we talked about putting together your story and how to organize it a bit with adding those little pieces in as you go along and not overthinking it, just writing it out. What's the next question that's coming up for you as far as writing your book?
Yeah, the next question is, you know, without putting any pressure on myself, how much should I be writing? Should I aim to do so much a day? Is it a guideline so that there's a flow in the writing?
So that's a great question. And that comes down to like a writing habit. One, I always suggest to people, like, writing habits are like good sleep hygiene. And if people are listening, aren't where good sleep hygiene is, all sleep hygiene means is like the good habits you do to get yourself ready for bed, right? Making sure that you're calm before you go to bed and all this. A good writing habit would look like you want to write in a space that doesn't have a lot of distraction for you. I never write in my bed. I don't do any work in my bed because of sleep hygiene, right? Bed is two things for me. One is sleeping and the other one is not working or watching TV. So that's one thing, is you want to work in a space that is relatively free of distraction, that you're comfortable in, that you can be creative in, that is really calming for you. Because the more calming the space is, the more your creativity can flow. The other thing is pick a time of the day where you write the best. For some people, it's late at night. Mm. For some people, it's like 6 a.m. Yeah. in the morning. So whatever time you know you are at your like mental and brain best. So what would be a good time for you, Janet, based on your natural biorhythms and how you know you're creative?
I think I work quite well in the morning.
Okay. And so would you think you work well in the morning, like right when you get up? Would you have to like go out for a jog and eat breakfast and then work? Like, what do you think would work best for you to carve out a time that would be consistent?
If I could get up at the same time, I could bolt it on straight away after. This is what they do. That is a technique where you put it to something you already do. Meditate every morning. Have a period of writing straight away after I'd meditated.
Oh, and that's actually a fabulous time to do it because your head's so clear from meditating. That's excellent. Mm. Yes. So tagging it on to another habit you already have is a great way to make a new habit, right? Because you already have that in place. And so all you have to do is, okay, after I meditate, I'm going to write. Now, when you sit down, do you like to write? Do you like to sit down and write? And it's okay if you say no, because a lot of my clients don't like to write. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being like, oh my gosh, I would rather change my cat's litter box than write. And 10 being like, yes, if I'm going to have fun, this would be one of the top three things I would do to have fun. Where does writing fall for you, Janet?
No, I probably think about 6, maybe.
Okay. So if it's a 6, I would say start small. So maybe you're sitting down writing for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, right? So, and so you don't have to sit down for like an hour or 2 hours. So maybe 10 minutes a day, right after you meditate, you sit down and you write a little bit, or you organize or do whatever it is. In that 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you can do that every day. You can do that 3 times a week. You can do it like Monday through Friday and then take the weekends off. Or you can Monday through Friday, you write 10 minutes a day. And then maybe on Saturday, you sit down and write for a half an hour, right? You need to make a schedule that you're comfortable with, that it's not overwhelming for you. Because if you sit down and be like, okay, I like to write like 6 out of 1 to 10, but I'm going to sit down for like 2 hours a day and write, you're going to get burned out as someone going to the gym who hasn't been to the gym and they start lifting 500 pounds, right? It's not going to be good. So you want to figure out a good, consistent habit and time that's going to work really well for you, that you can keep up with and feel comfortable with. So would you say like 10 or 15 minutes a day would be something that you would be comfortable sitting down and doing?
Yeah, I could probably do a little bit more. Sometimes when I don't want to work, I sometimes say I'll just do an hour if I'm doing something, but once a minute, day in it. But I think with the writing, I think if I aimed for 15 minutes and I built it up to half an hour, really great.
Yeah, and that's another option you can do too. Like if you say, okay, I'm going to do 15 minutes every day, and some days you don't have a half hour in your, that's fine because you hit your goal of 15 minutes, right? So like make your goal really easy to attain so you feel successful. But then on the days you're like, oh, I'm ready for 15 minutes, I can go for more. Then go for it, right? If you have the time, then do it. Absolutely. Consistency is key, because like 15 minutes doesn't sound like a lot, but if you write for 15 minutes a day and you do that every day for a year, you're going to get your book done pretty quickly, like the rough draft anyway, right? Like you're going to make progress. And that's the point, is not to say like, oh, I only have a year to get this done, but just not to put it in a focus of like, unless you have something like a TEDx talk or something, right, that you want your book for, then you have a really hard deadline. But unless you, if you don't have a super hard deadline, don't put that pressure on yourself to be like, oh, I have to have this out. Because just the fact that you're doing that good writing habit and you're moving forward with it with the consistency is good. That's the whole goal, is just to be consistent and move forward. So if you're writing every day and you do this for like 15 minutes a day, the other option you can do instead of just sitting down typing is you can write yourself an outline of what you want to write about and then talk it into like your microphone and then transcribe that on like Otter or any of the like the transcription services. And you can use the automated one. You don't have to use the person one that's more expensive, because the automated ones are really good right now. And then you take that and you can copy it and put it in a document. However, with that part, you do need to do obviously a little more cleaning up, because it's a transcription and the transcription can't just directly copy into book content. So that's another option. So how, would you feel comfortable doing like the audio piece, Janet, or do you think you feel more comfortable doing the sitting down and typing piece?
I could probably have a go at both, but I do like the option of speaking into something that I don't have to type or be as if I'm at a computer. I could just get my phone and start to. So I think a mix of both would work for me.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, and you can do that too. You can do a mix. You can try like 1 week, maybe try the audio and see how that works. Yeah. And then the next week, because I always tell people, if you're going to try 2 different things, don't flip-flop the days, because you could be having a bad day and be like, oh, audio didn't work, but it wasn't because of the audio. It was because your day wasn't going very well. So I try it for a week. Maybe try starting off with the audio, because I know you're a podcaster, so that you are very comfortable with talking with your voice. And so start that and do that for a week. And then the next week, try typing it out and then write like your pros and cons list. Like once you get done a week of audio, make a pros and cons list and physically write it out. Like, what did I like about this? What didn't I like about this? And then just keep writing until you can't think of anything else. And then the next week, start typing it out. And then at the end of that week, do your pros and cons list. Be like, what did I love about typing it out? And what did I not like about typing it out? Because it seems like a lot of work, but it's front loading. But if you do all this work in the front, it's going to be so much easier for you moving forward in your book, because you're going to have a system and you're going to have it down. You're like, I know it works for me. That's really the important piece, is just finding what works for you to write your book. What would be your next question that you have for like writing your book, Janet?
I can just see all this writing and then me having to edit it. Is there a process? Should you edit as you go along? Should you edit once a week? Should you edit at the end, I don't know what.
Yeah,
what do you...
personally writing my own book, what I do, and I also recommend this to my clients, is I say, if you have an idea to write something new, write something new. If you sit down and you're like, you know, that chapter I wrote yesterday, I think it needs to go back and get this week because I just thought of this after I wrote it, then go back and do that. So there's no like hard and fast, like, oh, once you get past 1,000 words to edit. I always tell people, whatever you think, feel needs to be done next, do that next. So if you feel like, oh, I need to write more new content, do that. If you feel like you need to go back all the way to the beginning and change something, then do that. Just don't get caught up in decision thing. Be like, oh, I don't know. Should I do that? Shouldn't I do that? Like if you get really caught up in something, write it down and put it aside and then do something different. Because one of the things I know that I see with all of my clients is that they get caught up in something, then that ends up really stifling their progress. Yeah. And then they just stop writing their book altogether. And that's when I hear people come back to me and they say, oh, I've had this book and I wrote it like 10 years ago and I just picked it back up, right? Because they were so anxious about writing the book that they couldn't
Sick
even
of
do it anymore.
I can imagine. It feels big, that, doesn't it?
Right, exactly. You don't want to make your book feel so big it's overwhelming, right? You want it to be like, okay, this is a big project and I'm working on it, but it's exciting because I'm biting it off in little pieces.
Mm. Yeah, I like that technique, yeah.
We have time for another question. If you have any questions about like writing your book and editing.
If I was to put quotes and things in, I mean, is that something that would happen afterwards, or can I start to gather different sources of information? I feel like I want it to be things weaved into it. Can that be gathered as I go along?
Absolutely. Yeah. So what you can do, and what I always suggest people to do for like quotes or pictures or any type of added content that's going to bring value, is to have a separate folder and to put like all your quotes you want in that folder. Now, the one thing I always recommend to my clients with quotes, if it's your quote, that's awesome, because your purpose of your book is to be a lead magnet, right? You don't want to have, one of my clients was writing and the start of every chapter of his book was a quote from somebody else. So I'm like, you're making that other person look like the expert. So while it's fine to have quotes from somebody else in your book, I wouldn't start out a chapter with it. And I definitely wouldn't put it in every chapter. So if you're going to have a lot of quotes, make it either be from like your clients that you've gotten permission from to put their quote in your book, permission, because you want to have that to keep yourself CYA, right? To cover yourself. And then the other thing is you could have quotes from like that you said on your podcast or that you have like in your head, right? This is a quote from you. So that reinforces that you are the expert in your field. And while it's fine to have like Maya Angelou or whatever in your book, you don't want to start every chapter with that. And I would say, don't start a chapter with it and don't have every chapter have a quote from somebody else.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that. Yeah.
Great. Well, this has been great. So do you feel like you've gotten a lot of value? This has helped you kind of get like a good start on like where you want to go.
Well, it does, because I feel encouraged, I feel inspired to start, because I've got some ideas that I've put on a document and I've got some bits, but I haven't had a structure or, like you've explained, to sort of have it embedded into something that you do in the week so it becomes a very natural process.
Because the more natural it becomes, then it's like, oh, now I'm a writer because I'm writing every day, right?
Yeah.
To like see yourself as a writer if you don't do that for a living. For me, it's very easy to see myself as a writer because I do it all the time. But like if that's not your profession, then you have to get into the habit of doing that and be like, okay, this is what a writer does. I'm being a writer writing my book. So that's super important. Well, Jad, this has been fabulous. I love having you come on today as my guest to help you with like, you know, just getting started on your book, because so many of my clients get stuck right in the beginning, like exactly where you're at. They're just like, I have all these great ideas and I don't know how to organize them. So I know you have a freebie to give away to my listeners. Can you tell us where can people find you and what is the freebie you're giving away? We will definitely put a link to your freebie in the show notes below.
Well, I've created a quiz to help people understand the love patterns, the survival love patterns that they are running, so that they can make more conscious dating decisions and they can be safer in their dating experiences. I work with a lot of couples and families who are bringing love patterns that aren't from the heart. They're more survival love patterns into the relationship, and that's stopping the intimacy. So I'm all about sort of family intimacy, relationship intimacy, so people can have closer connections. So I've made a quiz And also with the quiz, you will end up finding out what sort of blueprint you are, whether you're an overgiver or a dreamer. And that will influence your behavior in relationships. Training video then that comes at the end of that, which explains relationship energetic, some explanation about the blueprints and how they fit in and how you can grow from them so that you're actually dating from your heart. So it's a decoding process so that you can find the voice that's truly you and you can connect from your heart, be predator-wise. Dating situations, you don't really know the signs of a predator. And I think that's really useful very early on to recognize I'm going to have survival love patterns here and I'm not aware of them. Become aware of them. Because if you're an overgiver, you're going to meet an overtake. Put all that in there to really help people in the dating experience. So they're lifelong daters and not short-term maters, as I would call it.
I love that. And it's not just, and it's actually good for people too, who, even if you haven't experienced trauma in your childhood or your life, to like learn that, because a lot of times you will encounter people in your dating life, especially females, right? If you're a male dating a female or a female dating another female, you're going to encounter people in your life that have that experience of trauma. And this quiz could actually help you help them. And, or if you're dating somebody that is, like, has trauma or you yourself have trauma, you can use this as a guide to help you out of that space. So I think this quiz guide, your guide is absolutely amazing. And I would definitely recommend anybody who is in the dating space, or even if you're not in the dating space and have a relationship, to try this out and definitely to contact Janet. So Janet, where can people find you to get a hold of you if they're looking for your service?
They can find me on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn if you're a professional and you want to improve your relationship. So they're probably the places, but I also have all my digital products and my services on Stan Store. So it is Stan Store, the Groovy Gram.
Got it. And we'll put all those links in the show notes below. Well, Janet, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your book journey with us. It's really exciting. And I know this has helped
a
lot of people who are listening to this help get started on their journey.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Hey, my friend. Thanks for joining me on the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I hope this episode has equipped you with actionable strategies for your publishing journey. Remember, your expertise becomes truly valuable when it's transformed into a professionally published book that represents your unique brand. The insights we've covered today will hopefully give you another piece of your publishing blueprint. If you found today's discussion valuable, make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you get the next episode dropped right into your podcast player. Each week, we tackle another essential aspect designed specifically for busy professionals like you. Remember to start the dream of writing your book today, because your strategies could be the missing piece in someone else's success puzzle tomorrow.
The information in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The content shared by the host, guests, and any affiliates is not intended to substitute for professional legal or financial advice specific to your situation. Always seek the advice of a qualified professional with any questions you may have. The opinions expressed on the show by the host or guests are of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of Unicorn Publishing Company. Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, guests, and affiliates are not responsible or liable for any decisions made by listeners or action taken hereto based on the information discussed in this podcast. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge and agree to release Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, affiliates, and guests for any liability.